Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio. Osho Radio brings you a discourse by Osho and beautiful music from the world of Osho. Today's discourse, a question is being asked: is there a difference between man and woman? And guess what? Osho is saying the difference is very small. Just sit back, relax and enjoy.
The nature of the song is to dance all night long. The whole is vibrating, that's where you belong. The nature of the sun is to smile, that keeps you
desire needs to heal himself first. Healing is not a desire to help others. Healing others is very ugly. Healing is simply silent. Silence heals. A person who is totally silent, just being vertically present, is a pulsation of healing. That I am giving heat. The sun does not make announcements. It is the very nature of the sun to warm and heat and to send the fire. A true healer just remains silent. Wherever he will go, it will be a natural radiation. Nothing special. The whole air will vibrate with a certain rhythm. A certain sense of wholeness and completeness. Healing is a wholeness, a full circle balanced. Yin, yang, male, female, day, night. In the middle is healing. The very center creates balance, and that balance is healing and health. A true healer does not even need to touch you. Just the very presence of the healing force heals naturally. These are divine rays. It is the very nature of existence. The healer is in wonder what is happening. Like a child and watching the wonders of existence, the wonder of this nature. Nature is the healer. Become natural. Healing is nothing special. It is like life. Whatsoever happens, happens. Whatsoever does not happen, does not happen. I simply watch. The only thing I can do from my point is to become utterly still. Just allow that stillness to do its natural work. And natural work of stillness is healing. In fact, it is called health. So I do not do anything. I have stopped doing. It does me. I simply watch. Nothing to do.
Today's discourse is from the series I Am Death, number 8, the first question. Someone is asking Osho if women can get to the same peak of consciousness as men. Is there any difference? Do they both have the same possibilities? Osho says the difference is very small. It's only the way to get to that peak of consciousness that is different. The man walks the path of meditation and the women walk the path of love. In this day and age, Osho says, both have the same possibilities.
Aapke paavan charan mein khil uthi. Ah.
second question. Bhagwan, the other day in Darshan you were talking about women and transforming their energy. You said that in the past masters such as Jesus, Mahavira, and even Gautam the Buddha were not able to understand and transform women's energy and allow it to come to a peak. You said that this time here with you it will be possible for women as well as for men to flower and come to a peak. Somehow I was touched by this very deeply. Can you say something more about this difference between man and woman and how you work with us in different ways? The difference between man and woman is not much. The difference is simple. It is like a man by our side is standing on his head. What is the difference between you, who is standing on his legs, and the man who is doing a headstand? In fact, none. You are both the same. But in a way, there is a difference. The difference is that the man who is standing on his head is upside down. That's the only difference between man and a woman. What is conscious in man is unconscious in women, and what is unconscious in women is conscious in men. Man is man only in his consciousness. In his unconsciousness, he's woman, feminine. That's why whenever you feel a man in any way moving closer to his unconscious, he becomes softer, feminine, loving, tender. That's why the people who are condemned by the society, the sinners, are more loving people than your so-called saints. Your so-called saints are hung up in the conscious. They don't allow their unconscious. They repress it. They disassociate themselves from their unconscious. They condemn it. They create a distance between themselves and the unconscious. They define themselves only through the conscious. That's why they look so hard. Look at the faces of your so-called saints, the moralists, the Puritans, the people who are continuously carrying the loads of holier than thou. Just look at their faces and you will find hard lines, stiffness, uptightness, a quality which cannot be called soft tender, loving. Watch the so-called sinners, the condemned people, and you will be surprised that they have more tender hearts. They are more loving people, more companionable. You can enjoy the company of the sinners, you cannot enjoy the company of the saints. If you put four saints together, they will be constantly quarreling. Quarreling about stupid things. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? How many hells there are? If you put a dozen saints in one house, there will be no peace at all in that house. They will be constantly barking at each other. Sometimes I am fascinated by the idea that dogs may be reincarnations of saints, barking at anything. And particularly at few things. For example, all dogs are against uniforms. They will bark against the postman, the policeman, the sannyasin. Maybe they are angry at their own past life. But sinners are very friendly, for the simple reason, I am not telling you become sinners, I am simply making a point so that you can understand why sinners look so soft, loving, human, and why saints look so inhuman. The reason is the sinners are closer to their unconscious, and man's unconscious is feminine. The balanced man is neither man nor woman. He is a mixture of both, a synthesis rather. His masculinity compensates his femininity. They are not at daggers with each other. They are dancing in tune, in deep harmony, together. There is great akar. So the difference is not much. The difference is very little. Of course, it has become very big because for at least 10,000 years, man has dominated the scene. He has repressed the woman in himself, and because of that, he has repressed the woman on the outside too. He had to. Both are part of one logic. If you allow your own inner woman freedom to meet with the man inside you, to have a deep togetherness an orgasmic quality, so that as far as your consciousness is concerned, it is no more split as man and woman. It is one. It is human. It is a whole. It is no more a conflict. It is a conquer. It has attained to the highest synthesis possible. When this happens, one is whole. Whether one is man or woman does not matter. But for centuries, man has dominated. And the only way to dominate is to destroy the outer woman, to reduce her into a slave, to reduce her into a commodity, sellable, purchasable, something of the marketplace. This is the ugliest thing that has happened in the past. Because of this, the whole past of humanity is rotten, unbalanced, insane. And if the man represses the woman on the outside, of course he cannot allow the woman inside either. He has to repress that too. And the woman has been told that she has to be womanly. That means she has to reject all that is masculine in her. She has been forced to go to the very extreme of being a woman, and the man has to be completely denied, and this has been taught as if it is something of great value, as culture, as religion, as civilization. The woman has to be shy. The woman has to be in every possible way dependent on man. She has to be a servant, not a companion, not a friend. This idea affected everything, even religion. And the people like Jesus, Mahavira, Gautama the Buddha, these great persons who are the very salt of the past humanity, the few people who had flowers, even they could not go against the socialist structure absolutely. I can understand why they could not go against the socialist structure. Because they had to work with a society which was not of their making. It was already there. Buddha had only 40 years to work. Now you cannot transform everything in the society. He had to decide whether he has to work and create something, or he has just to fight. If he was to fight for every single inch, then no work would have been possible. He had to compromise. He accepted many things, which I know were accepted very unwillingly. And the same is true about Mahavira, Laozi, Zarathustra, Jesus, Muhammad. But they had to function in a particular society which was given already there, and it had existed for thousands of years. And they decided it is better to work silently and help few people to become enlightened rather than fight with the society and waste your whole time and not help even few people to become enlightened. That was the choice before them. Buddha was not willing to allow women to be initiated as sannyasins for the simple reason, because the Indian society has been very repressive. It has created great walls between men and women. To destroy those walls would have been releasing a chaos. It would have released so much repressed energy that Buddha was not thinking that he will be able to help anybody. Everything will go berserk. Hence he postponed as long as he could. When the women became very insistent, and particularly when his own stepmother asked to be initiated, he could not refuse. He owed much to this woman. Because his own mother died the very day he was born. He was brought up by this stepmother with such care, with so much love. He had never felt that she is an stepmother. He had never missed his mother. And when this stepmother asked to be initiated, and she was getting very old, and death was coming close, he could not say no. Very unwillingly he said yes. But when he said yes to his own mother, then other women also said, now you have accepted one woman as a sannyasin, then why debar us? And it was logical. The door opened. And Buddha said very sadly that my religion would have lived at least for 5,000 years and helped thousands of people to become enlightened. But now it will exist only for 500 years. And that's how it happened. Because once the women came in, the repressed male sannyasins started. Getting infatuated. They have lived in compartments and suddenly they were free. Suddenly the women were there, and beautiful women, almost from all royal families, the first sannyasins had come. It almost always happens when a man like Buddha arrives on the earth, it is the most intelligent ones who come first to him. It is natural, because only they can understand. You can see it here happening. The most intelligent people of the world, from every nook and corner of the world, have arrived here. But the Indian masses go on ignoring as if it has nothing to do with them. They are not yet at the level of that intelligence where they can understand what is happening here. What to say about ordinary masses? Just the other day, the Pune magistrate has given his judgment concerning the case of one madman who has thrown a dagger at me. Obviously, intentionally to kill me, he has freed him. And the reason that he has freed him, the most basic reason that he has given, is really worth consideration. I laughed at it. I enjoyed it. The reason that he has freed him is that if it was an attempt to murder me, then I would not have continued my discourse. Who can continue talking when somebody is trying to murder you? But he does not know me. I would have continued even if I had died. I would not have finished before 10. But he cannot understand, and I can understand him, he cannot understand. When somebody is trying to kill you, can you go on speaking the same way? His argument seems to be very valid. So what to say about the ordinary masses? Even an educated magistrate thinks in the same way. Once Buddha allowed women to enter in his commune, the repressed male sannyasins started losing their grip on their own consciousness. It happened because of repression. That's why Jesus and Mahavira were also of the same opinion. I can allow, for the simple reason that 25 centuries have passed, and in these 25 centuries much has happened, particularly in the West. That's why my appeal will be far more in the West than in the East, because in the East nothing much has happened. Karl Marx has not happened in the East. Friedrich Nietzsche has not happened in the East. Sigmund Freud has not happened in the East. Carl Gustav Jung has not happened in the East. Albert Einstein has not happened in the East. The West is far more ready. The West has gone through a great revolution about sex, about the discrimination between sexes. The West has dropped the old nonsense. That's why it is possible for me to allow man and woman together to be here. And you can see the difference when Indians come here, they create trouble. For these 6 years I have been here, at least more than 300,000 to 400,000 Westerners have visited the place. Not a single Westerner has tried to rape an Indian woman. What to say about rape? They have not even bothered about Indian women. They have not even thought about Indian women. But so many Indians have tried molestations, efforts to rape, all kinds of things they have done. And they go on asking me why Indians are not easily allowed in the ashram. They come for wrong reasons. Even the well-educated. Just few days before, the manager of the Ambassador Hotel came to see rich, well-educated, and when he found Padma working in her department alone, he immediately grabbed her breasts. And the man had asked Sheila the first thing, that why I don't see many Indians here. And when he was caught red-handed, Sheila told him, now you know the reason why so many Indians are not there in the ashram. We have to throw them just as we are throwing you out. One government officer, one SDO, had come to investigate the morality of my sannyasins. And Sheila was showing him around the ashram. When he found that Sheila and he was alone, he asked Sheila, can I kiss you? And he had come to investigate the morality of the ashram. And because Sheila reacted and shouted at him, he had written a very nasty and wrong report about the ashram. And he has been one of the causes that we could not get the Saswat land for the commune. He created every possible trouble. And he was sending messages that if Sheila comes to me, then I will help you. Now these are the people Buddha had to work with, these people. And Jesus and Mahavira, they can be forgiven. They wanted to help man and woman both, but the trouble was the society. To me, there is a possibility. I can choose from all over the world people who are ready to drop this stupid division between sexes. Of course, the approach will be different. The woman will start with love and end with meditation. And the man will start with meditation and end with love. Only this much difference will be there. To the man, love will come as a consequence, as a fragrance of meditation. To the woman, meditation will come as a consequence, as a byproduct, as a fragrance of love. But whether the man or the woman, when they reach to the highest peak of consciousness, to the Everest of consciousness, they will have both exactly balanced meditation and love.
This was Osho Radio for today. Before the discourse, you listened to music from Nandin, The Energy Project, and Ma Anandvicha. After the discourse, the soft music was played by Nadama, a song by Maduro, and we finish with dancing music. Get your man and woman out there on the stage, in your room. A number by Karunesh. I hope you enjoyed the program. Until the next time, take care and namaste.
Abhaya Prada Mani Ganai Nana Vidhai Bhushita Pankaja Shankapadmani Divayukta.